We are live. We are back. Play that. Play that music.
Say please.
No, you got to start it off right.
You still got madness. You just said, put my shit on. Oh.
Yo, guru, turn me up.
Out of pocket.
Huh? No, you play it. Oh, sorry.
Don't play the video then? If you can't fight, I got you. I'll play the video.
Let's turn this off.
They know what's now. We hold it down. Jumping 10 podcast. Jumping 10 podcast. We hold it down. They know what's now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, Jobber Nation. Welcome to another episode of the Jobber Tears Podcast. As always, I'm Janelle from HR here from Mikasa. And Sir Wilkins and Mr. Black are in studio live and in color. We thank you guys for joining us, whether it is morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are. We do have some church announcements before we do jump into some good old wrestling with some predictions. Well, actually, first things first, Mr. Black, talk a little bit about Ashe and how that was this past weekend. Shout outs to Darius and the whole team out there down in Charlotte, North Carolina. Give us your POV of the night.
Yo, I say wrestling is the wrestling company to be, B. Yo, the audience packed, my nigga. Yo, wall to wall, sold out. The bleachers was packed. It felt like a Ring of Honor taping, dogs. From everything, from the wrestlers, from the catering, from the owner, sorry to Darius Lockhart, man. Like, yo, this is the best promoter, one of the best promoters I ever worked for outside of Battle Club, outside of my homes. Like, the way he treat the wrestlers, the way he treat the crowd. He don't disrespect. He does every little stuff. The production is crazy. Like, if you, first time being Ashe, like, the key matches, you get a highlight package. You get a promo package. The way that Darius was outside the community, touching hands, doing all of that to make sure this event is a success. Thank you for that, dogs. Thank you to all the fans I took pictures with. A lot of niggas caping my head right now. He's a fan. Oh, my gosh. It's long more than I had. But just know that I love the fans out there. It was great, though, son. I met my nigga Alex Kane at an event at Maryland. Son, it was great. It was a great weekend. Shout out to Darius Carter. Shout out to Nick Shin, you know, the only black ref out there, man. Like, son, it was one of the best weekends ever. The road trip, the knowledge I got, like, it was good, man. Like, if you don't fuck with Ashe, you don't fuck with me, dogs. That's the rule, dogs. You ain't fuck with me no more, B. If you don't fuck with Ashe, you ain't fuck with Mr. Black no more, B. Because Ashe, I like to call that my second home, dogs.
Ooh-wee. Is this the second show you've been to?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the first show we went, and then as fans, and then this show, Mr. Black was there.
My nigga, Andre.
Doing all the tricks of the
trade. When's the next one?
He hit me up, though. Like, it's probably soon, but I'm a ref then, you know, too.
Nigga, you didn't ask answer the question. You said, probably soon.
Probably when? Soon, but then was like...
I don't know, though. Speaking of...
So he said you got to ref it. Where is it?
I didn't open the message yet because I've been too tired, though.
Open the message now.
Yeah, all right. No, don't open it now because then he going to see you read it and then you not respond right now. Then you're going to look sus.
Thank you.
I'll do it. I know how to do it.
No, wait, you fiend?
No, because so I can set up what I need to do.
All right, we'll go after the show.
On the show.
No.
Yes.
He said, of course, we have the next show.
Want him to say what the date is.
He didn't give you a date?
No.
Okay, then. That's all you had to say. Jesus Christ. I'm trying to set up my life right now. I'm fighting for my life.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
Shout out to my son, Christian Bailey.
Good morning, Christian Bailey. Good morning.
Like, I'm fighting for my life. I just want to know what's going on. We have Mania. Now I don't think when they're going to do their thing, so I got to have money for that. This shit costs money.
It does. Speaking of that, though, son. You know, we have early sponsorship opportunity for Jobless Slam.
Now, I don't know how early sponsorship, because we ain't got talent, so I don't know how to set.
No, you see somebody, people can send money. People can send money.
I don't want people to aimlessly send money, though. But I will put together some packages this weekend. And
a little $200.
I will respond accordingly.
You can buy the water.
No.
Understand. If you have sponsorship early, you get first dibs on any title that you want. That says on my first
dibs. That's not how that works. You heard.
But if you give a sponsorship with no talent that's available, you get first dibs. If you say, hey, I want this, there's no talent announced, you have good faith in us. That's what it shows.
Exactly. No, and then you got a free t-shirt.
So then five people get first dibs, and if they want this all to want the same person, then what?
It's the first dibs.
Whoever said the money first.
Exactly.
Anyway, August 24th, 2024, Jabba Sam 4 coming to the ring. As I mentioned, I will respond accordingly this weekend, and we'll get some information out. So you guys will be able to have that
information. I got the sponsor check ready now.
He said he got the check ready.
Come on.
He said he got the black regularly ready check ready. He said
500 and a gift bag.
300, 200, no problem.
Nigga said, so Wilkes, check the email, B. Check the email.
He's not in charge of that. So, ha ha ha. Jokes on y'all.
This man is serious. It just shows you, yo, the effect of Asay, the effect of Jabba Slam. Yo, if you have faith in the product, you have faith in his people.
I love that people are excited, though. Exactly. I had people hit me up like, can I get booked? And I was just like, see, this is not the game I want to play with y'all. Mm-mm, not the game
already,
I want to play.
The show's already booked out.
As I said, I will get you guys the information. We will set.
So I got to get my money before DeAndre. see, bidding war.
Exactly.
See, the bidding war has begun.
You see, there you go, son. DeAndre and Andre.
I'm gonna give you one clue of who's gonna be on the show. He has muscles. He has muscles.
Get out now. You
that's a sneak peek. He got muscles, and then another person that's on.
Another person. No, that's an easy giveaway. If I said that, I won't even go there because I definitely was about to spoil that one. But those are thank you for everyone that has given their interest in Jabba Slam. Like, this is our baby. This is, you know, something that we're super proud of. And every year it gets bigger and better. Shout outs to Earl in the building. I'm still waiting for my barbecue.
Shout out to Earl. Our annual tradition of getting a shot once again continues, B. I saw him at Maryland too, dogs.
Earl, I need that connect, or I need to send you money for that spray paint hoodie you had.
Legit. Oh, wow. Baby turning 3.
Oh, the young one. Listen, my wish and hope is everyone that can come near and far can come this year. Once again, it is August the
24th. No, the baby turning 4.
It's turning 4, yeah.
But if you have not noticed, the date is the day before All In. So as of right now, we are going to make it a whole weekend. So where we'll do brunch the day after Jabba Slam.
And I love y'all, but after this weekend, black because nigga drinks and smokes.
I was about to say probably because he drank with Earl ass.
He was having Crown Royal with Earl, like a nigga.
It was going shot for shot. You know what's so funny? I'm so upset you was with Alex King because I definitely posted on his thing for Wale Mania. I was like, shot for shot. What's up? Shout outs to Jack Quest of the building. Shout outs to the Wolfgang podcast that's celebrating 100 episodes.
So happy, guys,
we've been there. We understand the struggle. We understand in terms of keep going. So no, because Crown is for the people. I'm upset. Anything else before we do jump into some wrestling? Because I know Mr. Wilkins has to leave a little early.
No, y'all can finish. Y'all can finish.
Once again, if you fuck with Mr. Black Man, you know, by the time you listen to this, Spare Their Kids, episode 3, my nigga, Coffee Weedston is going to be out, man. Basically, whoever watching live, right after I'm done with this, I'm going to drop the episode. But by the time you listen to this on the recording, it's going to be available, big dogs. Spare Their Kids, episode 3, man. Holler at me. Oh, don't forget, shout out to my son, Brian F. Pro. Once again,
yes,
putting us on the poster.
Yo. Damn, I got both in the center side by side. Damn. Yo.
No. Understand, if you make a Brian F. Pro poster, you make it, B. I'll never make the 500. I'll never make that list. But I make a Brian Pro poster,
I'm doing
something.
maybe you could change the system and do like a referee. Oh shit, goddamn.
Mm-hmm.
Lot of color, a lot of melanin in there. But no, thank you to Brian for recognizing us, for acknowledging us near and far. You know, it, it is.
You still rocking with the Revolution?
No, I am not. I will be at Legends with the team.
She'll be at Lawrence. She'll be at Lawrence's birthday party on Sunday.
Well, before that, right before
at Slate.
But no, I will be here.
So I ordered him a new air fryer. I kept the one.
I knew that's what you did. Yo, when I saw
it was at my crib. It was at my mom's crib, and I left it there. And then I went back to pick up. I was like, you know what? I'm keeping this shit to myself. I'm gonna send him a new one.
That's very thoughtful of you to give him a brand new one.
I'm about to tear this shit up. I got air fryer now.
I told you about the air fryer.
Air fryer chicken, air fryer eggs, air fryer fries.
Oh, I never thought about. I don't like fried eggs, but I never thought about eggs.
You gotta get like the You gotta get like the air fryer accessory, the container, the styrofoam.
I got some.
Oh, you do?
I'm hungry. You gotta get the parchment paper because Joy and them normally have that. So,
Like air fryer changed my life. You went griot in there too.
I'm about to.
Son, I'd be like,
So anybody that doesn't know about the story with the air fryer, me and Lawrence,
long-term booking,
It is. About 3 years ago, right before the pandemic, we all did
Secret Santa.
We did Secret Santa.
I wasn't a part of this.
Mine?
And then I got Lawrence. Lawrence has a show called 2.5 Bros. So I got it. And then I ordered it, and I'd be forgetting. I kept forgetting at the crib. And then the world closed, opened back up, and I still haven't given it back to him. And then I went to my mom.
We had multiple meetups. Like, we had a whole meetup for Dre and Amanda's graduation during pandemic. I had a whole birthday party. Like,
mind you, this man moved. He could have been the air fryer with him, but he didn't.
I didn't. And then I was like, you know what?
Mind you, I asked them, you have everything that you need? Yeah, dogs.
And then I went back home. I saw the air fryer was still there. I was like, yo, you know what? I'm going to keep this. And then I text Lawrence. I was like, hey, what's your address?
That was, yo, when you saw it at your mom's house, that was your opportunity to bring it to me so I could have held it for him.
That's mad work. It's mad heavy.
It's mad work. I just keep it to myself.
What?
Keep for myself.
But then you buy him another one and still have to carry that.
No. You send it to his house.
He live in the projects. You can't send that.
He gave me the address.
Yeah.
Okay, good luck with that. Let's see if he get it.
Dang, son. So little faith.
He not only lives by the Atlantic Ocean, but he live in the projects.
The projects ain't that bad. And why are you blowing him up about living in the projects?
Thank you. I didn't know that. That's none of my business.
Well, that's because you don't ask him questions.
That's none of my business. You got a house, my nigga? Yes. That's all I care about.
You ever live in the projects?
Of course I did.
You lived with me.
When?
In the projects.
Oh!
The products ain't that bad.
Not that bad.
I never said they were bad.
We're just saying in general, it's not that bad.
I'm just saying.
I lived in Jefferson Projects. That was a hood.
Or may not.
Yeah.
That was a hood. Niggas got stabbed in Jefferson Project. But everybody was nice
to
me.
That's why whenever I.
Put his address in the chat and I'll hold it down for him.
Whoa.
Who is this? No, I don't even know. Look at your icon. Your name is Psycho 6 Red. Yo, no.
So, the greatest wrestler right now, and I'm going to say this.
Sting.
No.
Yes.
Drew McIntyre.
He's up there, though.
He's dropping bars.
He's up there, though.
He is dropping bars.
Remember his sword dogs? We used to come
You see? On WWE, that Cryberry, the Rock smacking Cody is a real t-shirt?
I'm going to get that t-shirt for Mania.
If it wasn't like the Batman and Robin shit, I want like I am a Cody Crybaby shirt. Like, I want that.
Cody Crybaby? It's a great shirt.
Yeah. You may see people have signs. Like, on Raw, people had signs in the front like, I am a Cody Crybaby.
Yo, wrestling fans need the police dogs. They're going against their morals and everything.
I'm trying to either CM Punk.
I'm weak.
Yeah. It's been so entertaining what Drew's been doing. Like when he sat in the middle of the ring like CM Punk, I was like, this is top tier, son.
This is Impact Drew, though, son.
This is personality Drew.
Yeah, this is Impact.
I always mess with Drew, but this was great. But like,
thank you, Andre. Being a Cody Crybaby isn't a flex. Thank you.
No, yes, it is. That means you want the good person to win.
Okay. What makes Roman a bad person?
Oh, she's frozen.
Oh. Okay.
Take off.
So let me ask you a question. What makes Roman a bad person?
Roman's not a bad person. It's just that Roman's been great. I think Roman's been good.
So,
but I think he's an anti-hero. You can't be a full heel anymore. It doesn't work. It doesn't work at all anymore. Like being a regular heel does not mean a regular baby face. It doesn't work.
But are you just being a regular person?
Or maybe that's just who he is.
Because think about it this way. Because in real life, we do, like, in real life, your situation, you're the villain.
How am I the villain?
In his eyes, you're the villain.
Okay. Whose eyes I'm the villain? At work?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're the villain. And like, in certain stories,
you're the villain. Well, the thing is, everybody's a villain in somebody's life.
Yeah.
Everybody's hated somewhere in some type of capacity.
Right.
And then somebody said, why is Cody's story more important than Roman when he's been champion for 4 years? Cody has made this about himself.
Exactly.
He has made this about himself because strictly because it's about his dad.
So who have Cody helped along the way to the championship?
Jey Uso.
How?
Got him another tag team championship. He's done that. Had put up fire mat. Listen.
No. I'm talking about in storyline. Not kayfabe. What else has he done outside of his arc? Outside of him?
Shinsuke Nakamura.
No. I'm talking about within the wrestling world.
That's what I'm saying. He fought Shinsuke Nakamura. That was a side mission.
But he didn't help nobody. I'm talking about Roman elevated everyone around him. Like, Paul Heyman got a second win. He put his family on. His family basically running the company because of Roman.
But
what have Cody done to help people out?
He helped put Roman over.
I'm not talking about, of course, we all know that. Of course, that's easy. I'm not talking about the insider stuff. I'm talking about looking at it as just a TV show.
That's what I'm saying. Looking at it as just a TV show, it's Sami Zayn, no, but I'm thinking it's Roman. Losing to Roman at WrestleMania 39 made Roman into a bigger villain.
Okay, it did. But again, he didn't take no one up to his ride.
What do you mean?
Huh? Because on his journey with Roman, he took so much people with him. He took his whole family members. Because of Roman, tag team championship was main event at WrestleMania.
I understand that, but that's not Cody's job. Cody's supposed to be the superhero. He's supposed to be Superman.
But Superman even helped people along the way.
No, he didn't. Who did Superman help?
The people in Metropolis?
Yeah, for his own greedy, selfish needs.
How is Superman greedy?
Superman is selfish.
How is he selfish?
Superman is super selfish.
How is he selfish?
Because he only cares about himself.
But he's helping people.
He's helping people because to make himself feel good.
Well, no, Superman just want to be liked.
Exactly. It's his selfish needs.
But that's so not selfish. Superman is a people pleaser. Don't do that now.
The real hero right now is Batman.
Why?
He don't got to do this. I'm rich, bitch.
Batman literally let these students live. Because of him, there's constant crime.
No. He lets his villains live because he has a heart. He doesn't want to kill.
My nigga. My nigga. But you cause these people conflict hostile with bills. What about the thug who just guarded the door? You busted up his lip, and now he cannot support his family.
He shouldn't be a thug.
But what if
he shouldn't be a thug? Batman is trying to teach you a lesson. Let's not be a thug. I'm gonna whoop. It's like when your parents beat you. Back in the day when parents used to beat their children, it was about teaching them a lesson. They weren't gonna kill their children.
Some did.
Well, that's the ones that are no good.
I don't think that's how that goes. But wait, how does that even talk about superheroes?
No, because we're talking about Cody. I said Cody is a superhero.
Cody's Batman though.
Cody's not Batman.
Yeah.
Cody's Superman.
Visually, Cody is Batman, absolutely. Because
how is he Batman?
I said visually though. Like visually, like Cody could be suited and booted. And then Cody could turn into he was the bad guy in AEW. When you think about it,
he understand, Michaels. You already preaches. Cody's a hero. Elevate things around you like Roman did. This is why Roman's a chief. Thank you, Stan. Thank you.
No, he's not.
Boy. Oh my gosh. Oh my god. I need help finding the bloodline. Blah blah blah. Blah. Because he brought Jey Uso on Raw, he caused Kevin Owens in friendship with Sami Zayn. Selfish.
They weren't really friends.
Yes, they was.
They're really frenemies. They're frenemies. It's weird.
But it made the situation worse because of Cody's selfishness.
Cody has never been
selfish. On the same brand wouldn't have helped. It made sense. Low key.
So, are we gonna talk about Mid Sting retiring?
Don't be disrespectful now. And listen, I give AEW I give them a hard time, but I will definitely say thank you for that last drop from the Raptors. I popped. I said, oh my God. Even though it was slow. You see how slow it was?
Yeah, because he didn't want to die like
they
Owen.
They brought that man down so carefully.
But you know what? I'm going to take away my Sting slander for a second.
You should have been took it. But...
No. I said Sting is great. He does not as good as people say he is. You got to put respect where it's needed. This dude, Sting, has been wrestling my entire life.
Entire life.
Plus. Yeah, yeah. Let's even put that on. He's been wrestling my entire life plus. He's wrestled for TNA, wrestled for WWE, wrestled for WCW, wrestled for AEW. And to be honest, WWE was but it's been solid among all companies.
It was more of the moment, because remember when Sting came in that Survivor Series, the whole bar shook.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like we thought Sting was really about to have a WCW career. Like, he was just like, we here for the moment, and we gonna do it.
Like people forget he got injured, though. That's the problem.
He got injured because, you know, the Seth thing. But the thing about it, it's like, yo, Mr. Consistency. You gotta give him that. But
he's
that's
a
why.
Company, man.
But that's why when you keep Jesus in your life, and you keep your pockets fat with money from.
What?
Stan, want to know why do you slander Sting?
Because he rude.
So Stan, this is the last time we're gonna talk about it, because you know what, Sting's about to retire. We gotta put some respect on Sting's name for what he's done. So this is my thing with Sting. I like Sting, especially Crow Sting.
Could've
but my thing is that I don't think he's as great as everybody says he is.
Okay.
That's my only thing. Sting has never been the guy. He's been the guy number two. And the biggest thing, he has been Scottie Pippen his whole career.
You know what's crazy? Yes, because during the late 80s, it was Rick, and then in WCW, it was Rick being the top guy. And everything kind of revolving around Rick. And then when Hogan came, everything was rolling around Hogan. So I will say he definitely was always the number two.
Which is fine. But I just feel like everybody's love for him is like he was the guy.
But you know why? You know why I think everybody likes Sting outside of my thing is? Because I believe that, to my knowledge, he played the game right.
He didn't
cheat the game. So this is why everybody fucks with him, because everybody can remember different moments, because a lot of shit was out of his hands. He was a good company man. For example, him versus Hogan. Yo, It's not his fault that Hogan got creative freedom in his contract. Wasn't his fault. The whole Jeff Hardy situation in TNA, again, was Ooh. Not his fault. Everything well, I that think he
nobody blinked him for that.
No. I'm just talking about a lot of stuff like to prove that he's a good company man. You understand? So this is why everybody fucks him along the fact that Sting did everything right. Because my favorite memory of Sting is, I remember, I was a little boy, right? So Sting, he was beefing with NWO. This is the time the NWO had like a million members. Feel me?
So hold on. So Stan said he was the guy in WCW, bro, before Hogan, and he was the number one babyface during Hogan. Not really.
He was.
But he wasn't the guy. No. The money went to Rick.
Reason why the whole Sting thing worked because if you watch WCW during the time, you can see the transition where they put the title on Sting. You feel me? He was even international world champion to show that yo, we got good faith in you, Sting. But then Hogan came up. Similar to CM Punk and AEW and derail all the plans.
Because he wasn't the guy. Now, listen.
I will agree.
DeAndre said, no, Sting was the guy in 97. The only person who ever outsold Austin in a calendar year in merch during the Attitude Era was Sting, highest grossing WCW and TNA pay-per-views with Sting main event story bills. Who did he fight, though?
He fought Hogan. That was
exactly. Exactly.
The payoff wasn't his fault.
He ended up tagging. I think they did like a war games with him, Luger, and a few other people. Like, Sting was always in the mix.
He was always in the mix. I'm not going to deny his greatness. I just don't think he's as great as people say he is. But at the same time, you got to clap it up. Mr. Consistency.
Nigga, I've been clapping it up. Like how Mr. Black said, like for me, when I watched WCW, he was still colorful Sting. Like my man looked like a superhero. Legit. Like imagine being six watching wrestling. You'd be like, yo, who's this man in this?
Well, he's in great, phenomenal shape.
Like, yo, like
his whole career, he's been in great shape.
And then when he transitioned into being in the Raptors and playing the mind games, that was when the merch went up. Because everybody in that crowd, if you watch an old Monday Nitro, you see everybody in that crowd with a fucking Sting t-shirt.
Thank you. How many people in wrestling for the Million Man with a bat? Nobody.
What I'm trying to say is he wasn't the guy. He may have been the top babyface, but he wasn't the guy.
But my thing is this way, right? You feel like Sting wasn't the guy though, right? But he was still one of the guys.
Yes. Okay. There's a difference between being the guy and being one of the guys. The top baby face right now, low key, outside of Cody, is LA Knight.
Yeah.
But is he the guy?
And that's fine, but he's still in the mix though.
No, it's fine. That's just my belief.
I think
that. And Stan is right. He's like, if you weren't watching WCW, just say that. But I was watching WCW because it's a flip back and forth.
But you know what it is?
A flip back and forth versus an actual watch.
But it's a little different. You know what it is though? People put the whole Sting on, if you're not the number one guy, they won't consider you one of the guys. Because there's nothing wrong of being on in the table. Because in WWE, like, for example, if you look at one of the top artists just in music, right? It's okay for you not to be number one. But if you're two, three, or four, or five, matter of fact, even in the top 10, that's still okay because you want the top 10 honors.
Listen, I get what everybody's saying. You got to love Sting. I just came in to give him some love.
Well,
I just wanted to give him some love.
So my thing is, Stan said, what can you describe Lex Luger? That's Sting. Stan
y'all not even get me started.
No, that's not disrespectful. That's not disrespectful, Stan. You can't put Luger and Sting in the same sentence.
Luger is not even in the same arena as fucking Sting. So we're not even going to do that.
Now, do I believe that Luger was one of the guys? Fuck no.
Absolutely not. And he's a murderer. So who cares?
Fuck no. I feel like Luger was trying to be at the table. They tried to make him be at the table. They low-key
Roman Lex Luger on us. And as a kid, I didn't know that. But as an adult, I know that shit now. They had him in the Horseman. That nigga had no business in the Horseman. Shout out to
Nothing.
Ole Anderson, RIP. Lex Luger had no business in fucking for Four Horsemen. And then when they tried to get him with Sting, it was because Sting was one of the biggest baby faces. And they wanted to put Luger over. And they gave them tag belts for 2.5 seconds. And still ain't nobody give a fuck about Lex Luger.
And then when he turned and was with Miss Elizabeth, still niggas ain't really give a fuck about what he was doing. So
I'm gonna shoot him bail. I'm gonna shoot like because like at the end of the day, I'm still a big Sting fan. I'm gonna shoot his bail. I think if Hogan never came to WCW, you will not say that how that he wasn't a man. That's the thing. I think Hogan being the quote unquote bigger star because reaching WWE kind of like overshadowed Sting. But to Sting's credit, people still talk about the Raptor, him coming down. People still get hyped when like with the with the mask. Come on. Sting wasn't a Sprite commercial. Wasn't Hogan though. You feel me? Like when Sting signed to TNA, it was a big deal. It was a huge deal. So I see what you mean though. Like
For me personally, I think he was in the mix, but the heel was always the one kind of was the bigger person in my opinion.
But you need a Sting to make the story believable. So
yeah, I get that. And the thing is, hold on. I would never compare Luger to the first Randy Orton. And the reason why is because no. And that's a good comparison. I can see the thing. But Luger as the first Randy Orton, when Randy first got around, Luger was not athletic.
Okay, I'm listening.
Luger was not as charismatic.
No.
He never was.
No.
And Luger just didn't – Luger just had the look.
No, but I think what Stan is saying though, in the sense of when they had put Luger with the Four Horsemen, that was that same thing that they did with Randy, was trying to partner them with people that was already in the game, already established.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay,
I think that's where he went with that. Like, I wouldn't say they were the same, because one, you talking about one person that's a third generation superstar, and that really in the beginning. Which, if you haven't watched the biography, so Biography and Rivals are back on A&E. And last week was the first episode, and it was on Randy Orton. Very good episode. He talks about why he went AWOL, because that was always my question, was like, why he went AWOL?
Why he go AWOL?
He went AWOL because he was watching people being bullied, and he had already experienced being bullied in like high school and stuff, and that was why he ended up joining. I think it's the Marines. That was why he ended up joining. So when he saw that, it triggered him, and he went home, and he ain't come back. Like, he was like,
oh, he's talking about when he was in the Marines.
Yes. Okay. So he talks about that. He talks about violating the drug policy. He talks about meeting his wife and how she turned his life around. It's a really good biography. So
wait a minute, it came out, Big Dogs?
Yeah. It started last week.
Gene had the perfect thing.
Randy was the biography, and then the Rivals episode was Triple H versus The Rock.
Okay.
So it was very interesting. This week's, I don't know the biography, but this week's rival is Macho Man versus Jake the Snake.
He went on to be WWE becoming bully.
Right. Well, that's because he ain't know no better. So that's what I'm saying. If you go watch the episode, and you got to remember when Randy started, Randy was barely in his 20s. Like he was
like 23.
He didn't know nothing from nothing.
That's like
honestly, and he said it. He was like, yo, they call him on audio, like at OVW, like, yo, I'm just here for a check. So it made niggas like John Cena, because remember, he was in that class, John Cena, Batista, all of them, and they was just looking at him like, well, then what is you here for? Like, we're not here
for a check.
Right. So, but it's a very, it's a good insight from like how he saw things and how he experienced things. So, well, that's understandable, DeAndre. I get it.
Yeah, I don't know about being a veteran. So,
yeah, like that's not my thing. But I appreciate him being vulnerable in that space and to be able to tell, like, this is what happened and this is why.
Someone said that how that he gets an end pass. F out of here. I agree.
Wow, that was a very intense conversation.
To wrap it up though, I guess we can talk about favorite Sting matches real quick.
Well, shout out to everybody that's as part of the conversation right now.
Oh, yeah, son.
MD8, Stan Michaels, Basketball Bicker, DeAndre. Oh, yeah. Everybody join the conversation now. But go ahead. You said you were talking about your favorite.
Yes. So, I mean, there's a few. But the one that actually does stick out to me is when he did win the world title off of DDP. I think, and it was on Nitro. And a lot of people, because, you know, in that time, a lot of people was expecting, like, a title to change on a pay-per-view. And even still to this day, like, when Big E won the title on Raw, everybody was like, but why? But instead of being like, oh my God, he won the title. So I would say one of my favorites was definitely DDP versus Sting for the world title.
I say for me, one of my favorite, you know what I mean? The whole Sting career, I got two. One is my favorite Sting moment. It was the first time he interacted with the NWA. Let me tell you what happened. NWA had like 50 members. So Sting was in the Raptors looking. He wasn't playing Hayden. He was like, I'm tired of these niggas. Niggas came down to the ring. There was 200 men in the ring, dogs. Yo, Sting had his bat. It became extendo bat. Pooh, pooh, knocking out everybody. By the time he was done, Sting fought a million men in the ring, B. That was my with favorite moment. With one bat. With one bat, with a extendo bat. Second time, it was an AEW. My nigga changed the weather, B. My nigga changed the weather to indoors, B. It went from clear to snowing. Son, my nigga changed. What does wrestling change the weather in wrestling?
Glacier. I can't even give you that. Glacier did that.
What does wrestlers change the weather in wrestling? No one
Glacier.
Else.
Glacier. What else wrestlers? The illest, yo, Glacier. They had the illest promo
Glacier.
Leading
Glacier.
Up to that nigga coming out.
Glacier. He was a Mortal Kombat character. Came to life. And matter of fact, what wrestlers is cool with RoboCop?
Yeah, that's a bar, sir.
No wrestlers cool with RoboCop. No wrestlers. I think my nigga Sting, B. He had Sting come out and help. World wrestler had extendo bat. When extended to make it longer. No other wrestlers. What else wrestlers have his son wrestle with him? Darby Allin with the match, just like his father. You know, starting like my daddy. No other wrestlers is tag team with his son. Except for Rey Mysterio. Back in the day. My bad. But Sting have his son right there, B. Right there.
His real sons look just like him.
Yeah.
They remind me of the Warrior and him back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what he'd be feeding them kids. My favorite Sting moment is I don't have one. I'm joking. So this one I didn't see live. So this is Vader versus Sting.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of my favorite matches ever. It's probably my top 10. Because I don't know what kind of crack they were on before that match. That's the best movement I've ever seen where both styles match so perfectly. If you ever take a match, ever take a time, go back and watch that match. Like, that shit was hard. That shit was hard.
Oh, yeah. That's when he was surfacing?
No, this is like 92.
So surfacing.
Yeah, no, he was colorful thing.
Yeah. Wait. Yeah. Was this during the time where WCW should drop movie promos?
Yes. But I went back and watched because I was fucking too young at the time.
Way too young. That's why I was saying like when I was six and I was starting to get into it, he was only colorful for like maybe 2.5 more seconds and then NWO came. Yo, I still find it crazy that he wanted to be the third member of NWO. And I said that could have never worked.
Wait, hold on. I never heard about this moment. My nigga Sting zipline from moving helicopter. Where was this?
Have you ever watched, and I know everyone that has their feelings about Hogan, I get it, but Thunder in Paradise, when
Fire.
was the heel of all heels on that TV show?
Fire, son.
I couldn't believe that Steve Borden was out here healing it up on a TV show.
Facts. Oh, Sting joined the Wolfpack, man. I forgot about them, but thank you, Stan. The only brother who had a goatee with paint on. What are the wrestlers who had a goatee with paint on his face? Sting
knew how to paint his face well, son.
Yes.
Yo, like for real.
Like it was top tier.
I don't know what type of paint he uses now because it do be fading very fast. But back in the day, that paint never came off.
Yes. It never came off.
Never. Like my man can have a whole 10-minute match and he still looked the same. That's how he came in. And it was like, what?
Sting was the heel on Walker Texas Rangers.
Oh yeah, he was.
On Walker?
He was. No, oh, come on. He was on Thunder in Paradise, Texas, the Texas Walker.
Walker Texas Ranger episode then.
So you know what's crazy? I heard he has mad
Wait, what? He said my other favorite move was Sting dropping dimes to Dusty Rhodes on a basketball court during a game in his Charlotte. Where was this?
Here in Charlotte.
They were in Charlotte. They probably put in a charity
game.
They
probably was doing some old like WCW.
I don't see The Rock doing that. Shit. I don't see Rock playing basketball like that.
Rock doesn't know how to play basketball.
Sting does.
Well, The Rock is slapping Cody's. That's what he does.
Don't do that. That's not nice.
He fought his pops. Huh? He slapped his pops around.
Who?
I'm Sting. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, because Sting is old.
All right now. He was hiring this weekend. No, let's not do that. But I can't stand you.
But which one more impactful? Slapping your pops or you? Slapping my pops. That's way more impactful.
Gene said your moment, Black, the Million Man Sting.
Yes, right there. A Million Man, come on.
His WWE debut was dope.
Yo, the bar shook.
Yeah.
The entire, I'll never forget. There's three moments at Legends that I will never forget. And
the thing is, you what worked, why Sting worked, because he took so long to come.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why it worked.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, even
well,
if he...
also, too, like, it was one of those, like, for me as a WCW, like, it was one of those, like, I never thought would happen. It was like, I never thought the day that I would see Sting walking in a dead. Like, it was one of those, like, what? Like, when AJ came, it was like, yo, this is happening. This is real. So then when him and Trips had that match at Mania, which was very subpar, he was like, what are we doing?
Why did he do that? If you see what he did in what he's been doing in AEW,
he's doing tag team. Why are we doing that?
Because he's old. He can't move like that. You got to protect him.
In his defense.
He's old and y'all put him in a tornado tag every time?
In his defense. In Sting defense, though, son. Before he got hurt by Seth, he was moving.
No, he barely was moving. The Triple H match wasn't good.
Yeah, no, the Triple H match was not good at all.
It was too long, but that's Triple H.
No.
Let's talk about it. Triple H loves long matches.
He got a story to tell.
Yo, he got two stories to tell in his matches.
Two chapters.
Bro, he be trying to tell a whole novel.
Nah, it be short stories.
With the extra story on the side.
Come on, P.
Like, and don't get me wrong, he's a great wrestler.
You got side quests during the matches. Like, what are you doing, Triple H? Get to the point.
Like,
was it you that sent me the JR every time? With
yes,
H?
I did. He just keeps cursing him out. But like,
son of a bitch.
You're son of a bitch. You're going to hell.
You're going to hell. Like, what?
Yo, JR hated that nigga, son.
Yo, for what? Like, just because he kept fucking with Austin?
That's his man.
I'll never forget when Austin got ran over in that Survivor Series. And JR was on that commentary so somber. And when Triple H came out, he cussed him out so bad. Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
That was Triple H. Still haven't forgiven him for
it
that.
Was not.
It was Rikishi. It was fucking Rikishi.
No.
Yo, what if Rikishi pops up in this whole bloodline shit?
He's feeding the pop up. Every 5 seconds on Twitter, he'd be like, yo, so, you know, I mean, maybe I got to get busy. Nigga, no. Sit your ass home.
Dude, this is not required, sir.
Bruh,
watch the rest of us.
You cover Rikishi, though. He put in place, he was one of the few nuggets that put in place the original bloodline.
I get that.
I take it back to Yoko, and I always stand by that. Yoko
but
was that.
No. You see, Yoko doesn't count because he was Japanese.
Yoko counts because that is
No. It's storyline.
In storyline, it doesn't count. In storyline, no.
In storyline,
they put him on the thing, though.
But he's Japanese, though.
Rikishi was never Samoan on TV.
They put him on the bloodline.
Yoko Juno is in that bloodline, legit. Like that is like their cousin or uncle or something.
And the thing about it, what pisses me off is that we all thought he was Japanese.
Yo,
he makes sense. He looked like it though.
Yo, bro. But the funny part is, I think it's the biography of Yoko that they talk about why they did that.
Yeah, it was
because at the time there were already so many Samoan guys on the roster. Like you had the
It made sense.
You had Rikishi and the other one tagging as the Sultan and all that. So it made sense, but it was just like, did y'all really have to do that? Like
it did it was just weird. But we all believed it.
Yeah,
the presentation was on point.
We fucking ate that shit right.
My man came out with the rice.
But you know what it is, though? He had the manager that actually sold it to, that actually spoke Japanese.
That's what I'm saying.
Mr. Fuji. It was just like...
My man came out with the rice, the flag. Yeah, he looked like a sumo wrestler, so it worked.
I always go back to that entrance, even though everybody hates WrestleMania 9. That entrance, when he won for 2.5, I was happy for him for that.
You see, everybody thought that Razor Ramon was Cuban.
Yo, the disrespect that WWE did with that one.
I was so tight that come to find as a regular black guy.
Cuban? Regular white guy.
White guy, my bad. I was so tight.
So here's the thing, and I told Mikey this before too. I've had family members that look white, legit, that come and visit us. So like, it wasn't the look of it; it was just like,
his swag.
I know that nigga don't speak Spanish. I know that nigga don't eat rice and beans. I know he don't know what outside of Scarface what Cubans look like. So
it made sense, and his hair too, like slip back hair and everything like that.
Hey yo,
let me do it.
Hey yo.
But because I find in real life, I never met a Cuban who dressed like him. I never seen him really dressed like him like that.
Not
in real
now.
Life.
I mean, if you go to Miami, you may see
probably
80-year-old pop that came.
Nah, you're right. You're right. You're right.
That
you
rock
see?
The shirt like
you see? I thought that Macho Man was black. Me too.
No,
I never
no.
thought Macho Man was black.
Yo, I no. thought that he was half black.
I am the biggest Macho Man fan.
Nah, so me, my son, basketball, think the same thing. I thought he was black.
No, the only one
I've never
was
thought
Taz.
Macho Man. I never thought Taz was black either.
I thought Taz was black.
I never thought Taz was black.
Do you not? Yo, go back to that Royal Rumble when he debuted.
He had a great tan.
He looked just like you.
No, he did not.
Why are you cheating, Janelle?
He did not look like me.
He looked just like you.
Oh, God.
Watch it. I dare you. Because he looked black. Y'all can't tell me different on that one. There was nothing.
Somebody said I thought Hogan was black. Nah, bro. Come on.
Okay, now we taking it too far now. Like, we were having a good time. And nigga, you took it too far.
Everybody said the same thing. I never knew Taz was white until last year.
Yo, it wasn't until really... After he stopped wrestling, that you was just like, you not a nigga though.
Yeah, yeah.
That's you is not one of us. And then his child, it's just like, oh, you really ain't one of us.
Well, yeah, obviously. His wife is like the most regular white woman, and his dad is just a white guy that knew how to wrestle.
I'm weak. All right, what else before we get into this week in wrestling real quick? Any other news, any other... things that jumped out at you guys this week before we get into
It's official. It's almost official that SummerSlam is going to Cleveland.
Woo! So you were talking about before my computer started acting like a whole nigga. You mentioned Drew, and one thing I will say, I'm more invested in Drew McIntyre versus CM Punk white. Than I am in Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins. I will absolutely say that. Like, I cannot wait till Phillip gets better. And comes at this nigga. Ooh.
Why?
It's been a good setup.
Why?
Because he's
come back. You know, he steps to get injured. I'm hurt for another 6 months.
No, don't wish that upon him. No. We listen. That's a really good like. If they do it right, that shit could go all the way to next year, low key.
We said before, Colt Cabana mother put a curse on him.
Yes, that's the truth. Colt Cabana's mom has a doll of Phillip Brooks in her house, and she pokes at it. With
until Phil does right by Colt Cabana, he'll never be well in wrestling.
He just got, he got to make that right. If they, like, if he can make WWE right,
all this money.
WWE is paying him. That's the difference.
No, but, like, he couldn't go up in there on some just, shit. Like, he had to humble himself.
He's been wanting to, I don't care what nobody says. He did not want to be in AEW.
He didn't.
He's been wanting to come back to WWE for mad long.
He didn't.
Like, I definitely think the whole, like, him and Jack Perry thing, like, he definitely took, he knew he was going to take it too far, and he said, fuck it, and just still did it.
Yes. And then now he's in WWE where he belongs. Let's be honest, because some people belong in AEW, some people belong in WWE.
Right.
And so, I feel like Punk didn't want to work hard no more. Like, I really feel like rewatching him, Punk want everything to be handed to him because he feels in his head, I came this far, I shall do nothing extra. That's why AEW that he just did the bare minimum. And he, because again, real talk though, son, if people don't agree with you, you've been wrestling for too long, Punk. people don't agree with you, you move on. You don't have to worry about it. I have to deal with you. But Punk, but Punk really, really, really felt that niggas want to suck his dick. Oh, I'm CM Punk. Come suck my dick. I fuck you. Like, who are you? That's it.
Well, I think for CM Punk, he didn't have a home there. AEW's not
you know what it is? It can come off very clicky. And I mean, and that's kind of like wrestling in general, but like when you in an up and coming company, you see all these young up and coming talent and they're all together. And like, he was, I think, trying to figure out where he fit in and then still try to help where he could have helped, but they didn't really want the help. And it wasn't it. It's like when we look back, Cody being there, that wasn't it.
Well, it's different people belong in different places.
It wasn't it.
Like, for instance, Cody never fit into AEW.
Okay.
That was not the fan base for him. Nope.
But somebody like Darby fits into AEW.
Absolutely.
I agree.
If Darby ever, and listen, I always want the, I've fallen into love for Darby. So whatever happens with him happens, but definitely, and that was why I was upset that they did the Pillars match. And I always say they did that shit too early. That shouldn't have happened when it happened. And I say that because the person that really should have won out of that should have been Darby. Yeah. And if y'all wasn't going to pull the trigger on Darby, then you shouldn't have did the match at all.
Nah, because Cody didn't fit. It was a different feel.
I felt
Cody
that
will not be back at that place at all, my love. That okay. is not happening.
I feel this, right? Do I think Cody fit in AEW? Now he would, because there's more TV time to spread out.
No, I don't think he would because of just his, just the way that he wrestles doesn't fit AEW.
Okay, he's very old school.
Okay.
He's very old school and he's very psychologically is on a different level than what a lot of the talent in AEW is. And it's not a shot to any of them. It's just it's a different style and a different presentation. And the presentation that Cody thrives in is WWE. This man is about to be on the next three SmackDowns, the same SmackDowns that The Rock is scheduled to be on. So, like, he could be everywhere. He is the face of the company without the title.
And the Bucks...
He could have never done that in AEW.
And the Bucks even said it. They're like, they're really proud of him.
Why would you not be proud of him?
And they said... I'm just saying, like, they understand. They even said, like, he's one of the biggest baby faces in wrestling right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And he's doing stuff with The Rock. Like Janelle just said, because the thing, for me, what I'm seeing is that certain people belong in certain spots.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Andrade should never went to AEW.
At all.
Miro should never went to AEW.
At all.
And to be honest, I'm low-key thinking, and I might have to walk this back, Jade shouldn't have went to WWE.
Should have?
Shouldn't.
You said Jade?
Yes.
Why?
It's still early. It's still early. Because I think they're still trying to figure her out, and they haven't been able to figure her out. But when she was in AEW, they put The Rock on him. Now, it is still early. We'll see what happens moving forward.
But, and I'm not trying to get on her. I think she's a great talent, but this is how I see it. I compare it to the NBA because basically WWE is basically NBA, right? Or the NFL. Let me compare NFL to get like Janelle in this, right?
Thank you.
Now, next compare all the ladies, right? We have let's say that how tall is she? Like 5'11"?
5'11".
So she's 5'10". A running back, right?
Yeah.
Running back, right? What? Right?
I see where you're going. All right.
Bro, Jade, you go on the practice squad, but I have running backs that's better than you on the third string, second string, and first string. Yes, you as athletic as them. You feel me? You move like them, but you're missing a lot of key elements. So why would I put you on a field where like I could leave you on a practice squad? So I have to agree with you. But I felt that AEW didn't work out for her because similar to Punk, she don't do nothing extra.
Hold on. Let me push back on that.
Let me finish though.
Hold on.
Let me finish, though. From my point of view, I felt like AEW is the type of place where, like, you could succeed, but you got to do a lot of your own work. It's one of those where, like, what you did in the indies, how you got hot, you got to continue to put that in the work to become
hot. Which is the problem. But when it comes to her character, she was quick to blow up. Because of what you're saying is
They just let her let you run. And I love the fact that you said that. AEW is a company where you come in, you do you.
Yeah.
There's no structure really. So that's what I think it is.
She mentioned that. She mentioned, and that doesn't work for everybody.
But I think it worked for her though. Because she got to
blow. I don't think it did. Because in all honesty, outside of a 50-0 streak that got a 60-0 streak that got disrespected the same night, what was it worth? What was the word? And that's why I actually like the fact that WWE, outside of Rumble, I like the fact WWE hasn't put it on TV. And
we'll see.
They sprinkled her because even that episode was SmackDown. It could have been last week or the week before that when her and Braun Breaker were on SmackDown.
It was 2 weeks
before.
Braun
signed.
Yeah.
I like that they did that because I think they are focusing on making sure her in-ring matches her style.
She's going to be a star.
She is.
But I think when she gets the wrestling down packed, I think she'll be better in AEW.
I agree.
Nah.
I think she'll be better in AEW. I think so.
And I think because a major part is because their women's division is there's a lack of consistency.
I think it's
going to
change.
And this is my fear, and it's not like it's gonna happen. But
I agree.
If the whole Sasha Banks thing happened, then now it's gonna revolve around her.
But I also think that's what they need, though, because they need somebody that can revolve the vision around that's consistent on both sides. Now Sasha's promos decent, in the ring fire. So I'd rather have that than somebody like Britt Baker.
You're talking about a company with no structure.
But hold on. This is why I will always say WWE is the place to be, because you think Sasha's not going to come into that women's division and say, hold up. We got to change some stuff around.
Oh, I know she is. And that was a part of the reason why that lady got hired.
Exactly.
You know what?
Who does that do for, like,
Willow, or any
other girls that's already there?
I'm not disagreeing with you, Janelle. I'm not disagreeing with you. But I'm comparing it to when Jericho came into AEW. Jericho did a lot of stuff by saying that the Lucha Dragon, the Lucha Brothers, One of the biggest knock that they had was, yo, you fucking up the whole tag team situation. Meaning that they're not properly tagging in and out. None of that, right? And you know what the Lucha Brothers did? They stopped their bullshit and got better at their craft. Because you needed a Jericho. You needed a Daniel Bryan to tell them that, nah, bro, you're bugging.
But AEW shoots themselves in the foot when they make partnerships with other companies.
That's not my point, Janelle. That's not my point. Like, I'm not. No, let's focus on the task at hand. Having Sasha there, it could eliminate where Tony looks like the bad guy. It could basically let Tony basically say, "I, Tony, like I can't do this," but you have another voice there. You feel me? To say, let's do shit right. Because when Jericho came in, like I was saying earlier, having Jericho there, a lot of the foolishness that they were doing AEW beginning, they stopped that shit because Jericho pointed it out. JR pointed out certain things. Daniel Bryan pointed out certain things. John Moxley pointed out certain things and stressed it. This is why these guys are locker room leaders. So my question is this, and be honest, who is the woman's locker room leader?
I mean, it should be. Those are experienced. I mean, they don't put no respect on Serena Deeb, so there's that. A very good veteran in the ring and could be a locker room leader, but they don't really do that for her.
Mm-hmm.
Who else is on their woman's roster like that?
Someone said Thunder Rosa, but exactly.
I'm like,
Mind you. Mind you,
I'm not gonna do that today. No beef 2024.
I could see why you hesitate, because before she was hurt, you always hear so much rumors about her. I don't know how much rumors are true or not.
It wasn't a rumor. I heard it from the person themselves. So that's why I'm like,
listen, Janelle. Listen, Janelle. Like I always said, if you can't say it, you can't say nothing.
No, and that's what I'm saying. Like I listen. Thunder Rosa is hella talented.
Someone said it. So my nigga G Nation 23. Thunder Rosa not locker room with all due respect.
But you know what it is? It's hard to delegate at times a locker room leader because everybody has different ideas and opinions on certain things. And you got to think about it. When you're at an indie show, who's a locker room leader?
You know.
If it's not on a consistent, like if it's not a talent that's consistently used every week and it changes per show, who's the actual locker room leader? All these people that people are saying, we don't even know if they're in the building every week.
True.
And if they're not being utilized every week on a consistent basis, how can you actually be a locker room? How can you be a locker room leader in that instance? But that Blackout Jones, I like for me, Serena D would have been the answer because it would have been somebody that can put over talent when she wanted to, can actually hold the belt when she wanted to. She can give advice. She can train with the girls. Like, it's a lot of, like, I feel like being a locker room leader entails a lot of things just outside of just being the top person.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, I mean, but that's what I'm saying. It's hard on their end because there's no consistency in their women's division. Like, for me, granted, they still have Rampage and Collision, but everybody knows that their number one show is Dynamite.
Yeah.
So, for the only women's match on this card for this weekend, for it to be a face-off, for them to do it on Collision and not Dynamite, I was just like, what? Why? Why did we do that? Like, you have me for 2 hours on Wednesday. Build up the pay-per-view on that show. I don't think that's hard.
You see, someone said it. Unlike the men's wrestlers, AEW, AEW don't have consistent women's veterans. WWE has a lot of them. And that is true, though.
I agree.
That is true.
I absolutely agree.
Someone said Kenny's a women's locker leader.
Kenny ass is not even there. I said
woman. Woman, not man. Woman. Woman.
And that's the hard part. Like, a lot of them, and you know, a lot of the guys are injured too, so it just
Somebody argue that Paige is locker room leader.
No, that'll be a terrible decision. Terrible. Her brother cute though. I will say that. When she said my brother's all elite, I was like, oh, he's kind of hot. But no, like Paige, no. Once again, there has to my hope and my wish for the women's division, whether it's with Mercedes Moné or whomever they decide to really cultivate the division around. I really hope it's just on a consistent basis. That's all I ask. Like, if the guys can get some consistency, why can't the women?
This man keeps arguing with me. I said, what woman is the locker room leader? I didn't say man, sir. I didn't say what man is a woman's locker room leader. I said, what woman? Listen, woman.
And in all honesty, if Kenny is the woman's locker room leader, then that's a problem in itself.
Facts. Facts. It's just like, you need a woman.
There's a difference between running a division in terms of creative and once again, you having dictate how it should look for a female is always going to be wrong.
Exactly. And who does Kenny goes to in this situation? Like, what I mean by locker room leader is WWE, right? Something's up in the locker room. What do they do? Look at Roman. Roman, blah, 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 blah. This is the issue. They'll come to him with certain problems. Who is the woman's go-to person that they could go to? They talk to this person to get to management. Yo, listen, but I'm not going back and forth with you.
I don't know why you are. But to this point, you don't need a Darby Allin type female in order to do that. You don't, that's not a necessity. Like for their women, for people to be invested, they have to build a story. Like I'm half invested in, you know, Tony and Deonna because they used to be friends and they have seen matching tats and like there was a little bit of a build, not a great build, but there was a little bit of that and it was a story where I could be like, okay, let's see what happens.
You know what's Carlton the biggest? Carlton over
here saying how Jim Cornette says him. I'm just like, what?
You know why I feel the women's division be so poor in AEW is because there's no meat to it. Like, they have a storyline.
But because they don't highlight it, why it's missing the meat.
Well, what I mean by meat to it is just like they don't add nothing to there. Like, for example, Toni Storm versus
Deonna.
Deonna, 2012 versus Deonna, right? Mm-hmm. Where's the promo packages? Where's the outside things that they did? Where is the stuff that hyped me up, say, I want to watch this match? There's nothing that's going to make me sink my...
It's going to be on Collision.
Right, right. I mean, I'm fine if it's only on one show. But bringing more meat into the story, like making more edible. Like, for example, WWE, right? Bayley versus Damage Control. That whole situation, there's a lot of meat into the story. Just not promoting it properly. Becky Lynch, rise to the top. There's... You can literally go back and watch what happened for her to get to this point. Nia Jax, her coming back. You see how Nia Jax became a threat to women's division. You see, you could go anywhere pinpointing out where did she start
it. But it goes with production.
Someone said Athena is locker room leader.
If you're not watching ROH, I don't see that girl. If I don't watch ROH, which I don't, I don't see that girl.
Someone said
but yet you'll have the ROH six man tag teams on Dynamite. You'll have every other ROH belt on a regular ass TV, but this girl can't get no TV time.
Come on.
Make that make sense. Like, listen, I'm all for Athena versus Sasha Banks. I'm here for that. But if y'all not gonna do it right, don't do it at all.
Thank you.
Don't do it.
Thank you.
Carlton, yes. MLW just settled with WWE a few months ago for $20 million. Yes, we are aware of that. And hopefully...
Pay the talent then.
Right. Use that for talent.
Pay the talent more money instead of like $100 per show. Oops.
Oh, Lord. But all right, Mr. Black, this week in wrestling, what are some things that jumped out to you?
Someone said they've been doing packages to the point of explaining the tattoos. You need more than that.
That was once. And in all honesty, if you didn't see it, you want to know.
Someone said that Tony Khan don't like black people.
Debatable and subjective, and I'm no piece 2024.
I agree.
I'm not even gonna go into that. I'm gonna let him be him.
Yo. I was 100% wow. I don't know what 100% wow means. You know what? I'm going to start watching again. For some reason why, the only place I get good women's storylines is a woman company called Women of Wrestling. I've been watching Keeping Up with Stephanie Hardy's podcast. Her and Kat want to be talking about that. A lot of people.
Happy Women's Month to all my ladies in wrestling, especially Miss Stephanie Hardy and all the hard work she does.
So... I want to watch WOW because I just watch WOW a lot. Reason why that I like WOW because they show you how, mind you, this is a company I just started, restarted, rebranded and stuff like that. And they have way more better wrestling storylines for women on the show. They had this one girl, this arm girl with no hair. She's tall, black. Woo, she's sexy. Woo, my God. Come on. This is why I like WOW because it shows you that, yo, an all-women's company could work. It could work. And they don't be doing all that sexy, lusty shit. It be straight up wrestling. I like that shit.
MDB, I absolutely 1,000% agree.
Hell yeah.
NXT for me checks all the boxes. And let's not even talk about how this week they had not one, not two, but three women's matches on the show in a two-hour show.
Mind you, all the women matches are very diverse.
Very diverse. They all make sense. They all are storyline driven. They even if it's like a backstage segment prior to the match, they show the backstage segment from earlier in the day type of situation. Like, they connect the dots. But in terms of speaking about NXT, it's so funny. So my homegirl Angie, and she never texts me during live TV. She texts me Tuesday night on some like, are you watching NXT? And I was like, actually, I'm not right now. Because Michael asked and got me into 24. You ever watch that show, 24?
What's 24?
It's the show where it's like the whole season is like basically a day.
And oh, Kiefer that's Sutherland's old from back in the day.
It's an old show. Yeah, I never watched it.
I think it meant like there was a new show called 24. My bad.
No. The old. Oh, hell yeah. So we're now watching. So now I'm watching it. We're watching it. And I was watching it because now I'm hooked. So we watched it instead of watching NXT, and I recorded. So the next morning, I watched it because I was like, yo, yeah, off of Fox. So it's on Hulu. So anybody that has never watched 24, it is on Hulu.
Wait a minute. They got the whole season and plus the movie on there, right?
Yeah, everything is on it. Absolutely. So definitely a good watch. So now we're at the first season. I think we're on episode 6 or 5. But either way, Angie had hit me and was like, are you watching NXT? And I was like, no, but I thought it was very weird that she hit me up about that. So the next morning when we watched it before Mikey went to work, I felt so bad for my neighbors because I fucking hollered because I was not expecting fucking Sean Spears to fucking pop up on my fucking TV. I said, what the fuck? I said, what is going on here? Yo, I swear, that nigga took a simple object that everyone uses in a match as a chair as his thing. So I didn't think about it. I was just like, yo, who hit him with a chair? That's so rude. And it's fucking Sean Spears. And then they call him in the most dangerous place of NXT in the parking lot. And he's talking about, I'll be back next week and I'll explain it all. And I was just like, oh my God.
I felt wow. Like, I felt Sean Spears, this not to his fault.
This nigga about to get, he about to get the most amount of TV time that he ever did in AEW altogether.
Like, no. At first, Sean Spears wasn't bad. I felt like he didn't have.
There was no direction.
There you go.
There was no direction. He started up. That's why. And then when he popped up, I said, yo, they got to run him and Cody back somehow, some way. Because that was the only match that he did in AEW that I was intrigued by.
Yeah.
Outside of that, it was like he was running around.
With the Pinnacle.
MJF and them niggas. For what? That didn't do anything. Got injured.
Yo.
Had a baby.
Can you admit that the Pinnacle did nothing for nobody?
Nothing for no one. In actuality, and it's crazy, most of their stables does not do nothing for anyone in the stable. If you really look at every stable in AEW, if there's maybe if one of them gets an opportunity, look at the Mogul Embassy. The only nigga that's out there is Swerve.
Okay.
When I would say now the Dark Order at a time, they all was like on. They was all making moves a little bit
because of Brody.
Right. Look at this Undisputed Kingdom shit with Adam Cole in the fucking wheelchair being
trash.
Basuda. Like, so bad.
They rated that the worst feud of the year.
Yo, it's so bad. And you know what? And it's a part of it is not even their fault. They waited too long to pull the trigger. And by the time they pulled the trigger, one of the niggas was injured. And that was that.
Someone said the Blackpool Comic Plus is good. Yeah, they're good. They get it. They make it.
And you want to know why they good? Because all of them are veterans and they ain't got nothing to prove. No need to do nothing. You got one nigga that's on a time clock that wants to go part time. You got another nigga that, yes, he's great in the ring, but he's terrible on the mic. And then you got one nigga that's battling his own demons and trying to just stay healthy.
You forget but about
Yuta? I can fuck with the BBC. LMLP.
I felt that what's name should have been on there. Daniel Garcia.
So, thinking about Daniel Garcia, I like the fact that they turn him babyface, and I like the fact that he is having the match with Christian. I do like what they're doing with him. I think it took a little too long to do that, because that was what the whole Jericho Appreciation Society was supposed to see. Another one. Jericho Appreciation Society. So, when fucking Jack Swagger popped up and saved whatchamacallit, I said, how? What? That didn't make any sense.
The House of
Yo, the House of Black could be so dope, and they dropped the ball.
And it's not dumb because no.
Oh my God!
The House of Black be having a lot of great moments, but they don't continue that momentum. I'll give you an example. I don't know if you saw this match. Did you see the 6-way tag match? The six man tag.
With FTR and Daniel Garcia in them.
Fire!
Yo, it was so dope. I had watched that match.
Why they continue after that? Come on.
Because then now they put Daniel Garcia in with what you would call it.
Yeah, I like that using Daniel Garcia. They try to use Lee Moriarty and Shane Taylor at Shane Taylor Promotions.
Mind you, you already have a guy that is in AEW that's in another group that was actually in Shane Taylor Promotions, but we won't reunite them and we won't do nothing with them, so Yeah, but you know what? That I didn't realize it until we just spoke about that. None of their stables, nothing. No one ever gets anything out of that.
There's nothing. No one get anything out of it. It's just like, all right, this is cool. Like,
it's so bad.
Like, I really feel that way. Like, I really feel. I've been working indies for like, I say behind shade as a referee. It's going on. Shit, it's about to be 2 years this month.
2 years, yeah. That's what 2 years. Last 2 years.
And very few locker rooms. I feel like there's a continuation from the last show. You feel me? Why am I saying that? When I watch AEW, I feel like each show is own a visual whole universe into the entirety. Very few things carry on to the next week. I feel like, hey, I got to go to AEW because it's an indie event tonight. That's how I feel. I'm preparing my mind to watch an indie show. When I watch WWE, it's just like I get rewarded now for being a longtime fan remembering things. Thank you.
Oh, but guess what? They also remind you at the beginning of the fucking episode what happened. Or one of the biggest things that they want to highlight, they'll play a video package for the first 2 minutes of fucking SmackDown. And that's because they already know niggas ain't gonna remember what happened last week Friday.
Thank you. And that's probably AEW. I'm fine how to start the first match, the first between 20 and 30 minutes of the first hour dedicated to one match. I'm cool with that. But you're sacrificing so much of the other show because take a little bit of like a couple of seconds, show the highlight. Why am I watching this show? Hey, we got this. Show a little package in the beginning. Take 2 minutes, a minute. Just feels like, why am I watching this show from last week?
There was no reason why Moxley and them had a 30-minute match in the first 30 minutes of that show this week. There was no reason for that.
You feel me? Because
there was absolutely no reason why. And then went to a draw. Not only did y'all make people sit and watch a 20-25 minute match, but now we gotta watch the match on the pay-per-view. When y'all could have just did the pay-per-view match and just built up the match on Dynamite and nobody would have been mad about it. But oh, that was last week. This week it was when they added Daniel Bryan and whatchamacallit, Eddie Kingston, and Eddie Kingston took the pin and I was just like, for what? Why? He the only one in the match with a belt. With three of them bitches.
Three belts.
Why did y'all do that? And then Daniel Bryan gonna be like, I'm gonna choke him out this weekend. I was like, excuse me? What?
And someone said,
listen,
this.
Don't even get us.
Thing don't make no sense. Give me a package. Why the AEW? Yo! And one thing that pisses me off again. Why do I care? Jericho is fighting his former partner's son.
His son! I didn't give a fuck! The fact that that was the last match on Dynamite, the fact that the history was between Jericho and the father, and then the father throws in the white towel for his son. I said, what? Why did we do that? Why did we waste everyone's time?
Son.
And then with the CMLL, whole partnership is like, niggas like Penta on them can't be on the same show as these niggas.
So you letting other companies dictate your fucking card. Your company.
But all because, and Jericho low key flexed on that one. Because I was just like, there's no reason why he's facing this little nigga.
But you know what kills me the most is you could have had a healthier relationship with TNA. All this evasion shit you're doing, though, son, you go to the same exact thing with TNA.
It's not even an invasion thing. Like, when you think of invasion, you think of niggas stopping the show.
Wait. Granted, I'm saying that, but everything you're trying to do, this whole crossover with CMLL, whatever you're doing there, you could have did that with TNA. It could have both companies way better because I'll be honest with you. Where am I watching CMLL? Where? Telemundo. Telemundo don't have it, so where am I watching
Telemundo this? Telemundo will replay a Raw in Spanish before they replay any of the other shit.
So, where am I watching this? Why am I... Okay, let me be very clear. It's not because I'm American, I'm Black and Haitian, whatever, but like, where in American soil I could watch CMML to get invested into that company? Nowhere in American soil. That's
a valid question. If anyone does know, you can put it in the comments. That is a valid question.
Let me know, because like, to me, I have no point investing in this because I can't watch it. You feel me? Japan, I could watch an American soul because I have different channels for that. Grant that. So you're investing all this time
all this energy to a company that's not even in America, to my knowledge, and because of that, your whole roster is suffering from that. You gain nothing.
Hold on, Nasty Leroy said probably Thriller. Let me check real quick because I got Thriller on the TV. Oh, I gotta sign up. No, thank you. But
so based on someone said on something on YouTube,
you can watch anything on YouTube,
right?
That first match, Jericho didn't even need the match. And then let's talk about, so I guess, you know, with the time we have left, we can go on to AEW Revolution predictions. Jericho and this whole match now that turned into a six-way for what? You still gonna get paid.
Everyone said they had an Aquash on YouTube.
All right. Well, I mean, if you got the time to, but I mean, but things of that nature, they need to be able for us as American fans to be able to connect that for us. Or tell us, hey, if you're interested in watching CMLL events or other things, because I think Daniel Bryan was on one of their pay-per-views or one of their shits the other day. Excalibur is the main one, diarrhea of the announcement mouth. Tell us where we could look into CMLL. Tell us. Direct us.
Someone said, what's Virgil Haitian funny? He got to step out, Matt.
Oh, first of all, that's disrespectful. Second of all,
so again, why somebody in the comments had to tell me this instead of AEW? And someone said it's strictly it's strictly in Spanish though. Yo, I don't understand Spanish. Some people say, "Oh, wrestling is wrestling." I want to hear the backstories, wrestlers. I want to hear from commentary. I want everything. Come on. But yeah, Granted, it's on YouTube. But AEW, why you didn't tell me that?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like they should tell us if they want us as fans to get invested in that. You know what? And that's probably a problem because I would even give New Japan, they had English commentary. When I found out Kevin Kelly's ass was on New Japan, I would watch some clips because I was like, I want to hear Kevin Kelly.
And one thing about New Japan on the channel, they literally have English. People talk about the matches in English to get people fans. The commentaries in English, what they're talking about, the letters in English. I can invest into it. I'm subscribed to New Japan America because I like it. Now everything's in Spanish. Nah, I'm good on that, son.
Oh, I think they do the MLW. I think they do. Either that or one of them. I do think they do have a partnership, or they do have certain talent that works with MLW, but
someone said they have that. I better get subtitles. No, no.
I love subtitles.
Not for wrestling.
No, I watch. Yo, I can watch Raw mute.
Nah.
Mm-mm. But that's because that's how I started watching.
Right, wrestling. I remember you telling me that. Yeah.
But I can subtitles. I'm always here for. But all right, let's get into this AEW Revolution. Predictions. Once again, we will be all three of us. We will be at Legends this Sunday.
It's been a while,
so it'll be good for all of us to be in the same space again. Once again, for the, I think it's 9 matches. Jesus. Do you have them up? I mean, I have some of them in my brain.
Oh no. Hold on. I get you right now.
Okay. But guys that are on the comments, let us know what match you're looking forward to the most and what match you are looking forward to the least. Let's talk about it. Outside of Sting's final match, which, in all honesty, they should have pulled the Ric Flair bit at the pay-per-view. That was my only grip with that entire segment. I said, listen, if Ric Flair was going to thumb poke them, he should have did that in the match. He should have screwed them in the match. But, you know, what do I know?
Hold on.
They had Ric Flair in that ring. He looked a hot mess.
Right. I got you right now. You know, I'm making it right now.
No problem. But yes, those that are on the live, let us know what you're looking forward to the most and what you are looking forward to the least. So the original plan was to go for me, but I've decided to be an adult and to stay my happy ass in New York City. Got a lot of other things going on, so.
I thought about it, too, but I was like, uh-uh.
Nah, yeah, we were going to drive down, and yeah. We were actually originally going to fly, because the flight was like under 100, but then we waited too long. And then, really, outside of Sting and the Ospreay Takeshita match, there was really nothing else I think I wanted to really see live and in color like that. So I'm just going to be with the fam here in New York at Legends. You guys are all welcome to come. Tri-State area, come out, support. We will be celebrating Lawrence of 2.5 Bros B-Day. That's his actual birthday.
There you go. Can you all see? All right.
So, yes, I'm just going to have to take a little deeper look. So, once again, this little six-way scramble that turned into from the big meat, slapping meat match. So apparently, because that was my thing, is like, y'all announced the three dudes in the match, and yet they're still in this match. Why did we do that? So apparently, Miro and there's one other person. Keith Lee were supposed to be added to the match, but both of them are injured, and I put that in quotations. So that's why they ended up transitioning into the six-way, where they have Will Hobbs, Warlow, Lance Archer, Brian Cage, Hook, Chris Jericho. I don't even know why they're in this. Like, I don't get it.
And it's two mystery people, too.
Which would be their qualifying matches, I believe, on Rampage this week. With Penta, I think it's Penta, Brian Keith, shout out to Brian Keith, and Light Bright, I think Dante Martin going against each other. And then there's another qualifying match. I can't remember what it is. But probably Warlow would win, I guess, to keep the momentum or their lack of for him. What about you, Mr. Black?
I'm excited for, honestly, I'm excited for everything. Because, real talk, I know that Roger Strong will put on a good match. The tag team at the FTR versus the BPC is going to be a good match.
That Dane we Garcia, already saw.
Right, already saw right. Like, Dane Garcia versus Chris is going to be a good match. Will Ospreay going to be a good match. I think the only down match might be like, it might be the six-way scramble match. Because they don't
it's not, it, honestly, right. It wasn't needed. And yeah. To your point, looking at it, because I haven't seen like the entire match card, like how it is right now, looking at it on paper, and that's, you know, it's funny. AEW does a really good job on paper.
Yeah.
With the matches, it's just always like where the matches are placed, how long the matches are. Like the other details in planning a show is what really kind of fucks it up. But
the good thing about it is they don't have 503 people on the card. It's like it's 2, 4, 6, 8. There's
nine.
There's only 9 matches. That's a little bit too long for my taste because guess what? I can't even go home after because I gotta go to work.
It's a lot. But yeah, they got Daniel Bryan versus Eddie Kingston for all three of his belts. They got Will Ospreay versus Takeshita, I think, which will be the match of the night. It'll be Will Ospreay's debut as an official All Elite wrestler on here. We got Daniel Garcia versus Christian, which I'm excited for Daniel Garcia on that. I think it's dope how they've been able to pull him into the babyface realm. The FTR Battle Club, the BCC feud continues, which I don't think was necessary to be on the pay-per-view, but it is North Carolina, and that's why I did think FTR definitely had to be on the card. Orange Cassidy versus Roderick Strong. So what I didn't like this week is I get they did an open challenge and Nick Wayne had accepted it, but it didn't build up to this match. Like the other week, Orange Cassidy had faced Matt Taven, and I was like, okay, that makes sense. So like for this week, I would have preferred him facing like Mike Bennett.
Right.
Or even Warlow. It should have been something pretending or having Roderick pick who he should wrestle. Like it just the little things to connect that match. And I felt like it got left off. So we'll see what happens. And if they do something for Rampage or Collision, like that's right. Cool. But who gonna watch that? And then you have for the world title. I don't know why everybody thought Heyman was not going to be in that match, but I thought it was dope that I liked the little swerve, no pun intended, that he did, even though I knew he was okay. So it will be the triple threat with Samoa Joe, Swerve, and Heyman Page for the AEW World Title. And then Sting's last match, so sad, such a career, with Darby Allin tagging for the AEW World Tag Team Titles. Against Nicholas and Matthew Jackson.
You think that match? So like, which one? So like, which match going to main event? The Sting last match.
I think Sting should main event, even though they probably won't. They may co-main event, where Sting and their match may go before the world title. But in all honesty, I think Sting should end the pay-per-view. Just at personally.
So what should start then? Like the
what should start? Starting match. Honestly, the match card again? I think it should start with the Daniel Garcia Christian match. To be honest with you, I would go that way, and then you do have Toni Storm versus Deonna. So you have that.
Oh, they confirmed it. Yeah.
Oh, they did. Okay. Good. I'm glad there's still some ounce of respect for my man Steve.
But like honestly, though, I think okay. This is what I think: the world title should go first, then the middle title should be the Christian versus Daniel Garcia match.
I think because I think if they did the world title match first, it may take the whole air out of the whole arena. That's why I want to do it. I would do Christian and Garcia, and then I would do the six way. And then after that, I would do the women's match. After that, I would do the tag match. After that, I would do Daniel and Eddie. And then after that, I would do the world title. They're gonna have to be back to back. But the world title match should be towards the end of the show.
So you know, oh, should we didn't talk about Elimination Chamber?
Oh, well, real quick. Listen, I love and appreciate Hunter Hearst Helmsley for giving us quality over quantity. I don't need 10 matches for it to be a situation. I like the fact that it was only 4. I like the fact that the women's, once again, the women's Royal Rumble, the women's Elimination Chamber have topped both men's matches for me. Mm-hmm. I love that Tiffany Stratton got the shine that she deserves. Mm-hmm. I hope that leads up to her and Bianca for WrestleMania. I think that'll be a mm-hmm. really great match. I like that they kind of like on Raw with Liv bumping into Becky being like, yo, it's not always about you type shit. I was here for it. I was like, yes. Tell her.
I agree.
Tell her about her. But Elimination Chamber, I like that they kept it short. Not really short because niggas was up at 5 a.m. and exhausted. But
I was ready up.
I was up. So I was just like, one eye open. No, but I liked Elimination Chamber. I think it was a really good pit stop. I think for them to do 52,000 people in Perth is an accomplishment because that's not easy.
Shoot, to do 100 people in wrestling is not that easy.
Shit, to do 50. If we gonna keep it a buck. But no, what were your thoughts on Elimination Chamber real quick and then we'll sign off?
It was one of those events where if you miss, you missed it. You'll be all right. That's why.
Okay, yeah.
You feel me? There wasn't very meaty. It was cool. You understand? It was cool. You feel me? But again, I understand that you don't get people hurt before WrestleMania. So it was very mid.
I didn't think about that. Oh, that's actually a good point. I didn't think about that. And it wasn't, first of all, AJ fucking Styles, baby, I was here for it. So I like that we're going to end up getting AJ versus LA Knight at Mania. I'm here for that.
Right.
But that's what I liked about Elimination Chamber. It helped set up WrestleMania. And I think, once again, it gives the sequence that it deserves. I do like that Rhea and Nia main event. 2 Australian-born women.
Mm-hmm.
Main event in Perth, and I think that's really dope.
Wait a minute, Nia is two women main event. Oh, never mind.
No, Nia was born in Australia in Sydney. They talked about it briefly, but because she was the heel, they didn't really give her the Australian But she was born in Sydney, Australia. So 2 Australian-born women main evented that pay-per-view.
But which one is sexier, a Samoan or an Australia woman? So they probably went to the Samoan. Just
I guess they're both exotic. Well, to be honest, it depends. Because look, Dakota Kai, she's Samoan. And a lot of people don't know that. But she's from Australia.
One of
them. But they all, that whole Polynesian
area. They do have Samoans in Australia. Yeah. The whole Polynesian thing, yeah.
But right. No, I like that Logan Paul was drawn on the pod. Like, and he drew the demon horns, and he was like, I'm about to have demon time. I was like, this nigga's extra. But I just like that they were able to
MD, start putting MD99 said that the court is the skinniest Samoan I've ever seen. I know she was Samoan.
Yeah. Her Bronson Reed, he's Samoan.
But all they say is like, so all they keep saying that is they're Australian. So it's basically like a situation where even though that I was born in America, I'm Haitian.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Okay. Well, guys, this has been fun. Once again, we will be at Legends this Sunday. Don't forget Hog this AW weekend. Revolution. So so make sure to, if you are in the area, to come out. Also, tomorrow in live time, Saturday, HOG Reckoning. Doors open at 4, bell time at 6. It is an early bell time, but you will be able to see Mustafa Ali, Penta, is that Alex Shelley? Danhausen, Santana, the Rascals. It is a heavy hitting card, so make sure to go out and support our good friends and family out at HOG this weekend. And then once again, as we are on this road to WrestleMania, we are on the road to WrestleMania, but we also on the road to JobberSlam. So make sure mark your calendars. August the 24th, 2024, the weekend of All In, JobberSlam 4 coming to the ring. We're super excited. It is probably one of the biggest things we've ever done just as a team. And yeah, the fact that you guys have always supported us in that venture is always going to be appreciated. So once again, I will respond accordingly to all of those inquiries. And any questions or things like that, you guys are always more than welcome to hit us up individually. We will always be able to help where we can. Next week, well, once again, as we end Black History Month, we start Women's History Month. So shout out to all the women that impact the wrestling business across the board. And, you know, throughout the month, we'll highlight some of those individuals, both inside and outside of the ring. So we'll work on that. But any last words, Mr. Black, before we do go?
Nah, everybody continue to support my podcast, The Spedhead Kids, episode 3. By the time I'm done with this, episode 3 should be out on the feed, man. Thank you for the continued support from my people. Shout out to Brian once again to put us like on this list right here. If you're not, if you didn't make the Brian FP poster, you ain't shit in wrestling, B. So,
well, no, whoever, either that or you just might have known that Brian was doing this lovely collage.
No,
because in all honesty, if some people don't know him or some people don't know that's what he do, they wouldn't be on the list.
True.
So he asks this every time. Like, he'll post saying, hey, I'm creating this graphic. Send me a picture. Send me a headshot. So Brian does actively try to get everyone on there as much as possible that is aware of what is going on. But once again, any type of acknowledgement is appreciated. But once again, we'll be at Legends this Sunday. Make sure to come out and support as we are on the road to WrestleMania. We are working on a few things for WrestleMania weekend, so just stay tuned for that. Other than that, you guys have always been great. So thank you guys so much for joining us on this afternoon, this Friday afternoon, yes, or morning or evening, wherever you may be, and listening to this. As always, I'm Janelle from HR here with... Well, I was here with Sir Wilkins, but he had to go. But Mr. Black, as always, for hanging out. Hashtag Black Excellence. Hashtag We Are Out.
All right.
Cody is on that list. That's hilarious. I love it.
I see you. All right, y'all. Later.